Hello, we're back.
We are back
with an unplanned, unscheduled, because we've got a listener question.
We did, which is lovely.
Which is lovely. From our last one on ultra processed foods.
Whenever you say that, I think you're being Bobby approved.
Maybe I am. That's probably what I has come from. Yes. But before we do that, what's the best thing you ate this week?
I am going to say the hot cross bun that I had
30 seconds ago
this morning.
I was thinking about that.
They were good. They were
delicious.
They were fresh and they had loads of butter on them, yeah. And I was hungry and it's that time storm of year. I know, it's fantastic.
I'm hoping to make some this year for the first time in years. I used to make them every Good Friday.
Yep.
And then I just stopped.
Yes.
I think it was just life was chaotic. Yeah. But when I moved to Maitland, I've never made them once in those 6 years.
Wow.
Maybe something to do with my Castle Hill house.
Yeah.
And now I'm back and I'm like, I'm going to make them again this year.
I'm going to make them actually. I've made them a few times and I've had, like, I've used different recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I'm going to do Naggy's, obviously,
I think that might be what I did last year. And they were great, but I did a different one the year before and it was, yeah, they weren't great.
I did one, the recipe I usually use, and I'll try to dig it out again. It's pretty amazing, but it's by a pastry chef. And so, like, you're candying the orange peel, like, a lot, which I think's what's turned me off, right, is, like, it was so many steps.
That is a lot.
They were amazing.
I once made marmalade where I actually piffed all, and I think I didn't have children, so like I took all of that bit of whiteness out.
Like, oh wow! I shaved the peel off almost.
Yeah, like, but I didn't. Like, I think I, oh gosh, I can't even remember. I think I like took, I don't know.
Were you procrastinating?
I honestly don't know, but I feel like maybe I end up with a little bit of carpal tunnel. Anyway.
I never made marmalade.
Never again, but I really like it. I love it. So maybe one day when I'm like an old grandma, I'll do it then.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have time.
Yeah, I do love a good hot cross bun.
Yummo.
Delicious.
So, Meg, what was the best thing you ate this week?
Well, the best thing I ate this week was dinner, not last night, the night before, and we had the Vietnamese shaking beef from the book.
Fabulous.
And it's just great every time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this one I actually used chuck steak, so quite what you wouldn't use as an individual, like a little pieces one, but because you tenderize it,
yeah,
I was like, that's cheap, fine, I'm gonna give that a go. Yep. It was quite lean,
yeah.
And I actually made it on the Sunday, whenever it was, and it did 48 hours tenderizing.
Oh, wow,
and it was so good.
Excellent. So good. Well, and that's a good handy hint.
Yeah, use really cheap cut. Yeah. Which is still not that cheap these days.
No.
But it was definitely cheaper than rump or scotch fillet or any of the other ones. And did it with the it's not actually the smashed cucumber salad that is on the Recipe Teen Eats website, which I will link to because it's amazing, but it's the basic principles. So smash your cucumbers, whack them and then slice them, drizzle a bit of salt, sprinkle a bit of salt on and let a lot of the water come out. And then I just make the ginger dressing from the book and put that on it at the last minute with some spring onion, rice, shaking beef, the little peppery, limey sauce. And it was just like,
yummo.
That's just such
We've made the tzatziki a few times and that is a winner. An absolute winner.
Yeah.
Especially for my, you know, slightly vegetable phobic child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like one of them will just devour a cucumber.
Grated.
Yep. You know. All the seeds out, grated.
We go through a lot of cucumbers.
We did a double batch for something and there was hardly any left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yum.
We made
what's going with that beef?
Well, we made meatballs, like the lamb ones, but with beef the other night. And they were really good too. Yeah. Delicious.
Perfect.
Anyway,
good food is good.
Good food is good. And
right, so this is not what we had scheduled for this week, but we got a cool little listener question.
Yes, we can see that people download, but it's really nice to know that people actually then go, that got me thinking.
I might ask the question. So our question is from Anna. Hi, Meg and Susan. I really enjoyed your perspective on ultra processed foods. I didn't do the voice that time.
ultra processed food.
It did make me reflect on how our family is eating, and I was surprised at how high the proportion of these foods was. I'm not worried about them, but would like to reduce them, but I'm not sure how to do it without feeling restricted or making the kids feel restricted. Any advice? Thank you, Anna.
Is a very good question.
It's a bad question because we're not saying there's no association. we're not denying the research and saying, oh, don't worry at all. Just keep, you know, if you're eating heat, high proportion of processes of
it's all a lie.
It's all a lie.
It's all a scam.
We're not saying that. There may be reasons to reduce it. We're just trying to make sure there's no fear mongering.
Yes.
Or extremes around.
And I think that's the good point, is that you can make a change. We do focus a lot on dieting, so the exclusion or reduction for weight change based on like energy density or whatever, but just changing for other reasons and reducing something could lead to a feeling of restriction or missing out.
Yes.
And then we know that that can actually mean we end up eating
more of those foods. It triggers the scarcity mentality.
Yes.
And also, you know, we do work with, you know, plenty of clients who perhaps nutritionally their diet looks beautiful.
Yes.
Very low intakes of, or none, of processed foods, but the stress and the toll that it's taking on their mental health.
Their reduced quality of life.
Is really not helpful. And then when there's kids in Vero's world, like kids aren't really able to think a bit more long term and might draw some conclusions from things that we're doing that are not actually helpful.
Yeah, and I think too, like framing the reason for your choices, being quite thoughtful and careful about how you do that is going to be really important.
Depending on the age of the kids.
Not at all.
Just doing it.
Just.
I think that's the first thing. Let's not make a song and dance about it. Like my first instinct is like I hate those shows where the dietitian or whoever comes into the house and goes, look at all this rubbish, and starts throwing it in the bin. Poison, terrible.
Goodness.
And you hear about families going, right, that's it.
We're cleaning out the pantry.
We're not buying and making a big song and dance about it. Nothing is going to trigger the scarcity mentality more than, we're getting rid of this and we're never buying it again.
And especially, oh my gosh, I'm just thinking of like little children or even like teenagers too, where they have favorite things.
Mm.
I mean, and not just children, adults, favorite things. And we're chucking it all in the bin.
It's rubbish.
Let's not do that.
You're never having it. So I think my first bit of advice would be do it gently and without making it a big deal. But to do that, sort of the second thing that we were just talking about a little bit before we started recording is to initially just get a bit of lay of the land. Try to without judgment, without any like shaming or beating yourself up, just have a really curious look at, well, okay, how and why is that happening?
What are the foods?
What are these foods?
What are the foods? How do they play a role
in your diet? When are we eating them?
Yeah.
And when are we relying on them? Like, is it black snacks foods in the lunchbox, or is it, you know, bottled sauce?
Yeah.
Or powdered
pasta sauce rather than. Is it for convenience? Is it for flavour? Is it for.
Except your kids perhaps with like limited acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Just this week, I've had for 3 new little clients in the last 2 weeks. Little sort of 7-8 year olds either on the autism spectrum or not, like they haven't all been with extremely limited diets and hugely high intake of ultra processed foods and we don't start at, well, let's fix up all those foods fix up in inverted commas.
Yeah.
We started like, are you getting enough energy? And if they're not, that's our number one priority.
Then we
might look at fiber and like those sort of big picture stuff, and only once we're really confident that there's enough food for growth and we're managing those sort of what we call at-risk nutrients, do we go anywhere near taking stuff away?
Making any changes.
to encourage intake of other foods. So I think we need to be really careful that in that curious reflection of, well, what is it?
Yeah.
Is we also understand, well, what will be the impact of,
yes,
doing a swap? Some kids and families just doing a swap is going to make no blip at all.
Yeah.
Like, not even a blip, but for other kids, sometimes even just changing the packaging.
Oh, absolutely. Going from like Aldi brand to Woolworths brand.
And the actual stuff might be almost no different, yeah, at all, yeah, but that can be enough to cause a kid to drop that whole food.
Yes.
So I don't know how I can assume. I sort of feel I can kind of assume from the question that, because it hasn't been that there's not some really big, significant, like, avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, yeah, or autism spectrum or any of that stuff. Yeah. That's very specialised. Yeah. But on a more general, you do sort of need to know what's the reaction.
Yeah. And also, like, I think for Anna to go, all right, what does my family's week, fortnight, month look like as far as food goes? Like, you know, what do we shop for? What do we buy regularly? What are those things? All right, where are the, you know, where am I going to start to make some changes?
Mm-hmm.
Why have we got those foods in the first place? Not in a judgmental way, but in a reflective way, and then go, all right, so does this mean I'm in the kitchen more? Because it probably does.
Yep.
So have you got the time? Have you got the resources? Have you got the skill? Have you got the storage space? Have you got all of that?
Yeah.
To sort of go from maybe, you know, packets of biscuits to making shortbread.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Butter, flour, sugar.
Whatever. And I think that's the other thing is, like, when people try to make it, like, change, often it's like these big sweeping changes, like, we're throwing everything out, we're only ever making everything from scratch now,
yes,
and or we're only going to buy what we like. If you listen to the last episode when we looked about the Nova classification system, we're only going to do group one foods, mm-hmm, which is just probably not realistic for anyone who's also working and also raising children. And
it might have worked when we were in lockdown and no one was going anywhere. Baking their own bread. Everyone had a sourdough starter as a pet and we were doing banana bread until, you know, the cows came home.
But even that would probably then be called a category two because it's a processed culinary ingredient. I need to declare on the Nova. It's in etched in my brain.
Yeah.
So, but I think that, like, we don't have to go from, like, oh, like from high or fours to only ones and twos.
That's right.
If we're going to think about it in that classification system. Like, is there a particular thing where you go, oh, I can start there and I can switch from this, I don't know, bottled carbonara sauce to when we have that, I'm going to make it from scratch. It's going to be really similar, but it's going to be that different. It's not going to have those other extra bits and pieces in
it. Whiteners, emulsifiers.
And colours and dyes and all that stuff.
Yes. So I think, looking at, like, what are the accepted foods? What's the job these foods? Do they need to be? Do you actually need some stuff in a packet?
Yeah.
Because it's got to survive all day and, you know, get the car trip home or something.
Yes.
So,
and also, how did you get there? Because often, so I think about, like, the package snacks that we buy for lunchboxes.
Yes.
And often it's been like the kids didn't like that one. 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 There's, like, one of my kids just will not. There's zero muesli bars in the world,
right?
That he will eat. I've tried all of them, and so that's not an option. And so we don't. That's not a particular way that we lean on, like,
foods,
because it's not going to get eaten. Yep. Even though I would quite love him to.
It would be easy.
Eat a muesli bar would be really easy.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing, is all the reflecting on, like, we want to consider the kids' preferences. We don't want to pander to them, but considering them and also helping it be a sort of a bit of a gradual process. Because if they come home and they look and there's not one familiar thing in their lunchbook or not one familiar thing on their plate, you're in for a hard time.
I was going to say, there was a recent, we were talking about it before, one of the TikTok, like, or Instagram influencer people making their American, the goldfish crackers, which I feel like must be a bit like the Dixie drumstick type thing.
Yeah, I think so.
For, like, for an chicken. Australian, chicken crimpy.
Yeah. Anyway. I only know about those. Oh, it's got them old. I didn't really know about goldfish crackers from The West Wing. Did you ever watch The West Wing? And how Danny, finds out that CJ loves goldfish. And she brings him a he brings her a fish,
an actual
goldfish. I heard you like goldfish, and she's like, the crackers.
Well, because I just, like, I know what they are, but I don't know what they taste like.
So no, I'm guessing they're like those little drumsticks.
They're like that sort of thing.
Yes, like a shapes in Australia.
Yeah, so you're seeing this woman make them from scratch, but the voiceover is, because my food standards are so high, I would not let them, So, no.
Like, if it, it's like, because I enjoy cooking and I like experimenting, can I make these? That'd be really fun. Yeah. This is cheaper.
Check out my kitchen. It's, like, amazing.
That's right.
I definitely have the resources, time, money, and all, and a, you know, an audience to do this for.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know?
Like, yeah, and values. Yeah. Like, we, it's not better or worse to have your dietary quality value higher than someone else's. It doesn't make you more virtuous. It doesn't make you a better person.
And
in fact, sometimes
you can just say that you can just make sometimes it just makes you unbearable. But like, this is my value. This is important to me. That could have just been the end of the sentence. Yeah. Unrelated to anyone else's values or
doesn't get the views and the stitches.
No, it does not. No, and it was definitely stitched by a lot of eating disorder people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think the idea of, like you were saying, like not making a big announcement, but like a gentle sort of,
I'm trying to try something new.
Heading
I
want into,
to do something different. If you get questions about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm making the brownies. Mm. I'm making brownies.
Mm.
Like, so I was just saying before, I've got a couple of boxes of the triple choc brownies from Aldi. They're great. I used to make brownies from scratch all the time, and when I didn't, and everyone really liked these brownies better.
Oh, that's a bit sad.
But, yeah, like they would be included, they would be considered those ultra-processed foods. And if I made them, I think they would probably be then like a level 3.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes.
I think.
Possibly a 2. Chocolate, no, probably a processed culinary ingredient. Yeah. Probably a 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
The choc chips would still be.
The choc chips would
chocolate
be.
Chocolate
like
would still be a
4
or 4.
Who knows? We don't know.
That's it. It gets really
hard
tricky.
To know.
But it could still be a reduction of.
Yes,
if you
that's
were to
right.
Make it. Even
exactly.
If you had the bought chocolate chips.
Yes.
I'm not going to make it right.
That would be.
Here's my cocoa
insane.
Bean.
From scratch. From
obviously.
Scratch. From scratch.
My food standards are so high.
Indeed, indeed.
But you could, yeah. Consider that, but then you've got to think of the time.
Yes, that's right.
So, but maybe you do a double batch and then you've got some in the freezer and then it's a bit quicker. There's also the consistency factor for kids. So I think when we go back to kids, like why do kids get stuck on some of these foods?
Yes.
Some of it is tied up in that it's the same every time.
Yeah.
Whereas I know when we make, if we make cookies at home, depending on how hot the day was, how hot the oven was, whether the ingredients were cold, they're
rock
like spready and rock hard, or they're a bit spongy, like they're different. And so if the kids find that particularly challenging or don't feel, just feel
like, got distracted and left in the oven too long.
You know, they're quite dark brown.
Oops.
So I think that's the other thing. Like you have to know your kid's tolerance level.
Yes.
And to expand someone's variety and expand their tolerance of things being different.
Yeah.
If you've got to go in really small steps because if you go too far, there's just instant rejection. It's got to be like, what's the next little step?
And I think for adults who maybe have had, like maybe there's been a dieting history or there's ever been any sort of food insecurity, cooking things from scratch represents quite a risk.
Yeah.
Because what if you do burn them?
Mm.
And then it's, they... We are going to eat these or are they going in the bin? Or like I did the other day, left a whole like 2/3 of a tray of pasta bake on the counter all night.
I've
just forgot
that,
to put it on the...
And it's awful, yeah.
I gave it to my husband anyway.
He doesn't listen to this.
It's fine.
and he's fine.
No one died. Anyway.
Don't do that.
Do not recommend. Do not recommend.
Disclaimer. Please do not.
Absolutely
do if
not.
In doubt, throw it out.
Oh, my goodness. I almost cried. But like there is something, you know, there is a whole lot of security for people with purchased foods.
Yeah.
Because it is predictable. It is at the standard that you want it.
Yeah.
So it isn't like a no risk swap. So I think,
And people can get quite, it's interesting because as a fairly, very confident cook, it's sometimes surprising to me in this beautiful Recipe Teenage group that I'm in, some of the questions I get asked or some of the things people are concerned about, like I haven't preheated this week there was one, I haven't preheated the oven, should I throw it out and do the batter again because the oven isn't ready at the same time? And that would never cross my mind. I'm like, she'll be right.
Yeah, yeah,
but if you are yeah, like new to cooking, yeah, and you're following the rule, the, yeah, recipe, and you find out that's, oh, it's not going to be perfect. Like, I can understand the impulse.
Definitely.
Of that. And so, yes, and I don't know how much you like cooking or whether you're a cook, yeah, but that's going to have an impact on, I, yeah, guess, how long the process is to reduce, yes, those foods as you build more competence,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
comfort in,
yeah,
cooking. And, you know, kids are brutal with feedback.
Oh.
So be ready. You know, thicken that skin up a little bit. Like, even my kids, oh, my goodness, I mean, that was great. But I think when you did it last time, it was better. Just eat the food. Stop it.
Thank you.
I think there's something different in this. And, yeah, like, they get it every time. And I'm like, I didn't think you'd notice.
Okay. Yes. Did I don't know. I don't think I shared it from Megan Susan. I think I shared it from Zest, that comedian. He's a British comedian. And he pretends to be like those really pretentious parents.
Oh, my little polyp.
Polyp.
Yeah, she said that to me.
The 6-month-old labia. But yeah, you know, like kids, are they getting peaches? Anyway, so we'll move to
getting,
that.
Like a lot of feeling, like a lot of kudos because your child eats, yes, this amazing variety
it's
of food,
a particular way.
Which is very, like, it makes life easier when they do.
Oh, it absolutely does, yeah. And it's actually often nothing to do with you at all.
Yeah, it's those inbuilt, yeah, traits. That's how they came out.
Right, exactly right. Yeah, I have three quite different children in terms of adventurousness with food. So nothing to do with me. Can't take credit. Also not my fault. So, yeah, I think with for Anna, like, I think it's like not, you know, making a big sort of song and dance, not, mm-hmm, making it a huge and very significant, obvious, like, changeover.
Mm.
Sitting down, thinking about the way food works in the household, and what would be lost. What's the cost of making these changes, like, for time, for labor, for money, for whatever? Because, yeah, it may not necessarily be cheaper, and actually possibly it won't be. Mm. So to then be actually, you know, and why?
Yeah.
What is that about? Like, yeah, is it around, you know, family disease, history of whatever?
Yeah, like, is it like, for example, cause if, yes, it was around, like, particularly, I'd say, like, high blood pressure.
Yes.
Well, then you might think, okay, well, it's the ones that are also really high in salt. That's maybe right. That's what I'll,
yeah,
target,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
rather than,
yeah,
some of the ones which aren't very, yeah, high in salt anyway.
Or if it was bowel cancer, then you'd be really looking at, okay, can I get more fiber?
Yes.
You know, more antioxidants, you know, less of the sort of salty processed meats, and, yeah, so,
which again brings back to, like, that add in,
mm-hmm,
rather than,
yeah,
cut out,
take away. That's right.
Obviously, how can,
because
I add,
that's
in,
actually what Anna has said, is the proportion.
Yes,
it's the proportion.
Yeah.
So if you add in
more
fresh,
of those lower category,
yeah,
foods,
that changes the proportion.
Yes.
So
that's exactly right. And also it'll help with that gradual sort of,
it takes up real estate.
Takes
plate.
A real estate up on the plate.
That's
exactly
right.
Or on the table. And it's, again, it's a low pressure exposure by it being sort of added to what's happening.
That's right.
And so you'll,
yeah,
probably,
yeah,
eat it. The grown-ups in the house will probably,
yeah,
eat it, but the kids might initially not even
might
on their plate.
Yeah.
Then they might be happy to have it on their plate. But it's giving them that lower, that exposure. Because I think quite often those foods disappear from being put out with a family meal because they are never eaten, in inverted
That's
commas.
That's right.
Which could be true, particularly initially.
Keeping them visible is...
But keeping them,
yeah,
there, even if it's just... Which I think is why taco night, we've talked about this before, like,
yes,
like, people are like, oh, they weren't anything, but taco night's a hit.
Yeah.
And quite often it's because it's all in the middle of the table and the kid gets to
There's
put
a bit
on
of
their taco from what's in the middle, and they're watching mum and dad go, oh, I'm putting hot sauce on,
yeah,
I'm putting guacamole on,
yeah,
I'm putting coriander, whatever it is, and going, oh,
yes,
maybe that's delicious.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll try that. Or maybe I'll try the tiniest little bit today.
Yeah.
And then so...
Seeing other people enjoy the food that you're a little bit worried about does increase the, you know, the ability to take risk.
Totally.
I think, yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
and being allowed to... We're getting into a different topic, which we will come back to at some point, I'm sure, around feeding kids and feeding toddlers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But actually having that safe out. So kids aren't going to put something in their mouth if they don't know that they're allowed to spit it out to a napkin or take it back out and put it on their plate.
Yeah.
If they're going to get in trouble for doing that, then,
yes,
then it's never going in. But that's,
yeah,
an aside. That's it.
That is an aside.
Wormhole.
But that's, you know, that's all part of it. How are you managing, like, you know, rejection of food that you're trying to bring in?
Mm.
So, yeah, I think really having a good, curious think before launching into any major changes.
And you might start with just one meal. So you might be like, you know what, our breakfast cereal has become a sort of ultra-processed one. Can we like dial it back to... Maybe it's taco night.
You don't buy the packaged sachet of seasoning. You
get the Recipe Teenage website and you get
get the nacho seasoning. So there's lots of ways, but it could be, you know, like a small change in breakfast cereal or a change in the type of yogurt.
Or on the weekend, I'm going to cook a bunch of stuff for the lunch boxes rather than having to buy them this week. As a tester as well.
Yeah. So then it's like the food outside the house, you know? And I feel like if it was me, I would be like, you know, all bets are off. If you're at a birthday party.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to try and change the proportion of my child's eating at a birthday party.
No. It's like, all right, what do we do? And then, I think being really careful about any language you do use about it, that,
because you might get questions like, I do get questions from my kids like, why don't I have packets of stuff in my lunchbox?
Why can't I have an LCM box?
And sometimes it's because I bought the big box and I put it into little containers.
Yes.
It's the same stuff. It's just not in the packet.
Yep.
And sometimes it's, well, I had more time on the weekend and I do prefer to cook it if I can.
Yes.
And it's not judged, like different families have different money, time, resources, ideas about food. Mm-hmm. This is what we do. Other people do what they do.
Yeah.
Not one isn't better than the other.
Yep.
From trying to really stop that judgment that can come on in.
Yeah. Because kids will be exposed to those black and white ideas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at school.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Healthy Harold will tell them broccoli is healthy and chocolate is not, or goodness, whatever.
Mm, yes, those labels will.
Labels will, you know, like they'll notice those things. So if it's very, very... you know, specifically non-judgmental, and it's about our capacity and like our family choices.
Yeah.
And that's enough, really. Yeah.
And the evidence does suggest that kids grow up eating pretty much how their parents eat.
Mm.
And so continuing to model and eat how, at least for you, eating how you want to eat can certainly help with that. So if you don't particularly, Anna would like to reduce the proportion of that, so by just doing it initially for herself, but being on offer for
and
the kids.
I was thinking too, another thing, talking about like taco night where that self-service thing happens, the same with that afternoon tea time.
Oh, it's such kids, a good time like for the platter.
If there's been like, say, savoury crackers and there's been...
Tuna noodles.
Yeah, that's right, which, I won't even go down that rabbit hole, but off air maybe. Used to work for Nestle. Mea culpa. but if that's an opportunity to put out a bowl of chopped up fruit, some sliced cheese, some dip,
and some veggies, nuts,
and
whatever.
So there might be, you know, in addition to the foods that would be maybe considered ultra processed foods, there are quite clearly those.
Sitting there beside it.
Yeah, that's right. So, like
when we were interviewed by that other podcast, don't let your snacks be lonely.
I love that. That's right.
Rather than just having a one item snack and afternoon tea, I'm going to just burn through an entire box of shapes. Maybe we're going to actually have that. And I'm going to chop up some
carrot fruit and hummus.
And some mini cucumbers, and we're going to dip them in a hummus. And we're going to be full, and then going to take some time off and then have dinner.
Yes. So,
That's been helpful.
We covered it.
I think so. We'll probably think of stuff after.
Non-judgmental language, making a bit of a song and dance, like do a scope first. Yeah. What am I changing?
Yep.
Adding
in.
Yeah.
And don't feel that you have to go from a high proportion to a zero proportion.
And if you get to the other side of doing this and you're like, oh, this is actually quite burdensome. Pull it back.
Yeah.
Pull it back because,
stress,
you know, there is absolutely no benefit to put, you know, you're up till 11:30 every night baking everything from scratch. So,
yeah,
you know, then you get 4 hours sleep because you've also got to get up and, you know, I don't know, milk a cow.
That's really going back to level one foods.
Okay. Sorry, we're not doing that. But yeah, so I think looking at it in the context of the whole of your health behaviours, I suppose, the things that are within your control, and making sure it's actually additive to that.
Totally. Well, good luck. Let us know how you go.
Love it. Thanks for the question.
Thank you so much for the question. If anyone else has a question, just hopefully you're on our mailing list. If you're not on our mailing list, head to megandsusan.co and sign on up. Well, and then you'll get a weekly email that you can just reply to with your question, which is how Anna did it.
Yes. If you also are thinking about, well, I'd like to do this too, and you want some support for planning, there are planners and lists, sort of templates on the website as well.
We need to have meal planning challenges. We need to do those again.
Yeah. So on our freebies section. So if you go to megansusan.co/freebies, I think it is, and there's a whole bunch of different resources there, but the planners would be a helpful thing. And downloading them will get you onto our mailing list. So
yeah,
you can hear about the other things we're doing.
Beautiful. All right. Enjoy the week and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.